The race for governor got a little more crowded last week after Democratic State Representative Brett Halsey joined the fray. Plus, a new poll came out showing a closer race between Scott Walker and the Democratic frontrunner, Mary Burke. And Governor Walker is getting more national attention in Time Magazine and the New York Times. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, April 28th. In this half of our State Capitol Report, we'll welcome your questions and reactions to the recent developments for our guest political analyst at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What do you make of another Democrat, Brett Halsey, challenging Mary Burke on the Democratic side? Let me welcome our guest. Joe Heim is a professor of political science at UW La Crosse. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what about State Representative Brett Halsey throwing his hat into the ring? He's the first well-known Democratic challenger to at least say he's going to challenge Mary Burke for this nomination. How does this shake things up?
Well, it makes the Democratic primary next August much more interesting. He's considered at least a reasonable name. He's a lot of experience, basically. People know who he is. And it turns out that the primary is going to be much more of a contest. And in some respects, he's going to be forcing Mary Burke to at least pay some attention to him.
Yeah, there are two other candidates who say they want to run. But they're lesser known, maybe hardly known at all. But this Brett Halsey is a state representative. And what do we know about Brett Halsey's politics? He leans liberal.
Yes, I think you'd have to say that what Mary Burke seemed to be trying to do is to move a little more towards the middle, and obviously go after the independent votes. And I might add, recent public policy polling indicated that she's been somewhat successful in that. What Brett Halsey's issues are tend to be more traditional Democratic issues. The environment, mining regulations, particularly collective bargaining. He said if he's elected, he would repeal, Act 10. This is going to force her to perhaps to at least pay more attention to traditional Democratic issues.
Yeah, Representative Halsey, though, brings some baggage into the race as well. How big of a setback will that be for him?
Well, it certainly is. I think I'm not going to use some of the terms I've heard from Democrats the last few days, but they don't see him as a mainstream Democrat in the traditional sense. He's a little bit more of a maverick. But he is better known, frankly. And he's from the Dane County area, so you would expect that at least in that area his name is pretty well known, and it creates a little more of a competitive situation for Mary Burke. But he has the potential for pulling her more to the left just to ensure her victory in the primary.
Well, Mary Burke hasn't said much about Brett Halsey, just that her sights remained focused on beating Walker. Do you suspect she might have to address his issues in the future?
I think she's going to. She's certainly, her focus has been on Walker the entire time, and I think that's what she wanted, and that's what most of the Democrats wanted. But his entry in the race adds an element of uncertainty to it. For one thing, you could assume that the financial side, people could say, well, let's wait till the primary is over with. This may cut into her ability to raise money, frankly, which she obviously has to do a lot of. So it forces Mary Burke to at least pay attention to those issues.
Mm-hmm. Halsey says that he is going to challenge Burke to debate in all 72 counties, and when she declines, he'll have someone follow her around in a chicken suit. What do you think of that?
I thought that was pretty crazy. I mean, that's traditional. He doesn't have a lot of money. He has some money, but and ability to raise some money. But I'm sure she's going to decline the 72-county issue, basically, and she's not going to be debating him. However, if the polls start showing him making a significant impact on her, then I think she may, in fact, be forced to pay more attention to it. This could, in fact, pull her a little more to the left, but for the most part, I think she's going to kind of ignore it. I thought it interesting that Brett Halsey is following former Governor Lee Sherman Dreyfus' issue. He's got a red convertible. It sounds just a little flaky, I guess I'll say it that way, the campaign, but we'll see how this unfolds.
Well, speaking of polls, in a poll by Public Policy Polling, which is generally regarded as a Democratic firm, Governor Walker leads Mary Burke by 3 percentage points. How do you interpret that?
It's, I was kind of looking at the other polls, and given the fact that millions of dollars have been spent on TV ads already this year, a Rasmussen poll roughly a month ago had the race virtually untied. I think that Walker was slightly ahead in that. The Marquette poll, widely respected in the state. I think the last one had 47-41, if I remember right, for Walker. St. Norbert poll, Walker was in double digits. This last poll, the PVP poll, with 3 points advantage for Walker. If you add those all together, Walker basically has to be perceived as ahead. But in general, it portends a relatively close race this fall, at least at this stage in the election.
We are talking with Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse, about recent developments in the race for governor in Wisconsin, and we're welcoming your questions and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. The race for governor got a little more interesting after Democratic State Representative Brett Halsey threw his hat into the ring last week. Governor Walker was named one of the world's most 100 influential people by Time magazine last week, and the New York Times on the weekend did a profile on Governor Walker and his possible run for the presidency in 2016. We'll ask Professor Joe Heim about that as well coming up. And we'll welcome your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine with Joe Heim, a professor of political science at UW La Crosse, and we are just getting an update on recent developments in the race for governor in the state of Wisconsin during this half of our State Capitol Report. And we have a caller on the line who we are talking about during this hour, Brett Halsey, state representative and announced candidate for the Democratic gubernatorial nomination, has called in. So, Representative Halsey, good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we thought that our show Central Time was going to talk to you about your candidacy last week, and we certainly would have called you ourselves had we known. But I think that why don't you just tell us why are you challenging Mary Burke? Why don't you think Mary Burke should have the Democratic nomination for governor?
Well, first of all, I'm challenging Scott Walker. I fought Scott Walker, hand-to-hand combat, basically, for the last 3 years. And I want to stop his reign of error. I believe I have the plan to get Wisconsin working again, create thousands of clean energy jobs, restore health care and benefits that were cut, I believe, illegally from our state workers, reinvest in our job training, public schools, our teachers, and get Wisconsin both working again worker-wise, but also our government working again for the people, not the Koch brothers and corporate lobbyists.
Yeah, but Mary Burke would do a lot of that too, would she not?
Well, actually, I saw her speak 2 weeks ago, and that's sort of when I decided to throw my hat in the ring. I was hoping that after spring training, she would be ready to go against Scott Walker, but she's not. She's playing a lot more like the Bucks than the Brewers right now. And, for instance, on Act 10, the Walker Unfair Despair Act, first she liked parts of it, then she, you know, wasn't sure whether wanted to repeal it. I will, on day one, repeal everything I can administratively. And if I have the votes in the legislature, I will call a special session to restore the benefits cut from public workers and try to get them also the back wages they were cut.
Yeah, well, Representative Halsey, what is your reaction to fellow Democrats who aren't sure you should be doing this, and those who say you've had some erratic behavior in the recent past and eccentric behavior, and they're not sure why you're doing this? What's your response to them?
Yeah, I was the only person last year to actually offer my Get Wisconsin Working Again amendment. That's $2.1 billion. To fix the problems Governor Walker created in the budget. I had to stand up to both parties. I mean, my own party and caucus wanted to just message on how bad the Walker budget was. I wanted to come up with real practical solutions. So I'm independent that way. I have stood up to them. But I hope that if I'm governor that they will support this plan, and they'll probably have to put it in the state budget and help join me in fighting the Republican override of the veto.
Yeah. And is it true you or someone's going to follow Mary Burke around in a chicken suit?
Yeah, I used this strategy when I worked at the Sierra Club for 17 years on politicians. Unfortunately, Mary Burke isn't ready to debate me or anybody. She was supposed to be on the calendar last night in Janesville at the Rock County Dem meeting, but she heard I was coming and she canceled. So, you know, honestly, she's just too shy. I'm going to save the chicken suit for Governor Walker, but I was in Kewaunee County yesterday. She wasn't there. I was in Oshkosh. She wasn't there. I was in West Allis on Saturday. She wasn't there. I'm basically the only, you know, Democratic governor candidate showing up at these Democratic functions all over the state.
Well, we will let you go for now, Representative Halsey, and check back with you in the future.
People, by the way, just wanted to invite people to my birthday parties. Today's my 55th birthday party.
Well, happy birthday.
I'm having an event at the Fountain. I'm not sure if it's the Fountain of Youth, but it's in downtown Madison today from 5 to 7. That's 122 State Street. And then tomorrow at Turner Hall in Milwaukee, 5 to 7. And, Professor, I will be coming to La Crosse because I want to restore all the money cut from our UW system, but that'll be in the coming weeks.
Thank you very much, Brett Halsey. Happy 55th birthday. Well, what do you make of that, Professor Ryan?
Well, I caught that that UW thing. Certainly appreciate that kind of comment. I think that it was pretty clear that Brett Halsey is going to be more of a traditional Democrat. I think it's clear he's trying to push Mary Burke more to the left, essentially saying she's not ready. I know that one thing in particular. She has avoided saying that she would repeal Act 10, and he clearly thinks that that's something that the Democrats should be addressing.
Yeah, yeah. I think Mary Burke has said on this show, in fact, when she was on for her first interview with us several weeks ago, that she was going to work as hard as she could to restore collective bargaining rights, but she did not specifically say she would repeal Act 10. Is there a difference?
That's a good question. It depends on the issues. I don't know when she says restore collective bargaining. What that seems to suggest is if there's four or five elements in Act 10, she would remove some of them, but not all of them. I mean, you have to kind of guess that yeah. She hasn't really come out with details on that one.
Yeah. Well, let's take another call. George in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, George.
Yes, hi. I did have a question about the polling, since there does seem to be some discrepancies and some rather large ones, especially in those last two by you guys as well as in St. Norbert, as opposed to the more recent public policy one. And I know, Joy, you had referred to the public policy one as perhaps being a little more left-leaning. I wonder if your guest could perhaps talk about the potential biases in different kinds of polls and why some are considered like a more Republican poll, even like I think the Rasmussen one, which actually showed it a fairly tight race, and some that would be considered more Democratic polls and others that would be more independent.
Yeah, that's a good question, George. Let me clarify that Wisconsin Public Radio does work with St. Norbert College in this poll every spring and every fall. I believe it's considered an independent poll because we're not doing this for the political parties, the Democrats or the Republicans. And I know that when we discussed our most recent poll on the air that did show a double-digit lead for Governor Walker, one of the reasons was that the random sample was more heavily Republican than maybe usual. It was like 37% Republican to 32% Democrats, but sometimes that's what happens in a random sample. That was the explanation that was given to me. But anyway, Professor Heim, what makes a poll left-leaning or right-leaning, and what accounts for these discrepancies?
Well, you know, one of the ironies of this poll that caught my attention is that the so-called Republican right-wing-leaning poll, the Rasmussen poll, and the PPP public policy polling one leans supposedly Democratic, were virtually identical. So it seems to suggest that if they do lean, you have to remember that even though I think part of it has to do with who hires them. Rasmussen is often hired by Republicans, PPP often hired by Democrats. So some of it has to do with what type of polling they do in the past. But in general, I think the issue has to do with sampling procedures, how you do it. For example, PPP has been questioned because they use some automated system, basically, to get the results, and it's not necessarily a verifiable system at this point. One thing I'm going to suggest that people be careful about, the Rasmussen poll, I know in particular the Marquette poll, are using registered voters for the numbers, not likely voters. And you have to know that next fall, the turnout in Wisconsin is going to be 50-60%. So I'm going to say roughly one third of the people that are in these polls are not necessarily going to end up at the polls themselves. So it's I think people have to be careful of that. I personally think that screening likely voters out at this point early on is still an important way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Typically, if you look at registered voters versus say likely voters, Democrats tend to lose a couple points. Republicans tend to gain a couple points.
Well, let's talk a little bit about other developments in, I'm going to say, the race for governor, because it's Governor Walker getting a lot of, or at least more, national attention. Named last week as one of the 100 most influential people by Time magazine. And there was another profile this weekend in the New York Times. Is this a good or a bad thing for Governor Walker, politically speaking?
Well, I think in general it's a plus. To be named one of the top 100 people and leaders and most influential people in the world by Time magazine has to be considered a plus. I looked at, I got my copy on Saturday, by the way, of the 100, 25, are, only 25, in fact, are identified in the political leader category. And of those, only six of them basically are U.S. politicians. So he's in very elite company here. Rand Paul is the only other candidate named amongst those 25 people. So you have to say that this is a real plus, frankly, an honor that is very rare for a particular state. What does it mean, basically? It just gives him additional national coverage, national publicity. He's been gaining that over the last couple of years, especially since the recall and Act 10, I guess. And the fact that Time magazine had him on the front page with an analytical article furthers this image that he is, in fact, one of the top four or five Republican candidates or possible nominees for the Republican Party.
Yeah, the New York Times this weekend, the headline, Governor with Eye on 2016 Finds His Rise Under Scrutiny. What about that? Is the national spotlight going to, make any difference?
That can be a mixed blessing. Most people in the country probably know him more for Act 10 and just the major issues that he promoted the last two or three years. What that article did, however, is identify some of the areas which are a little less positive, particularly focusing on some of the campaign finance reforms that he had in Milwaukee. I think the article talked about the email issue with his staffers and, frankly, kind of questioned whether he surrounds himself with the right kind of people. But essentially it was a fairly neutral detail piece. But it's the kind of stuff that happens when you run for the presidency, or you're thinking of running even. There's a certain kind of a vetting process that goes on at the national level, and they start looking at things that perhaps we have essentially gotten past.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting article, frankly.
In our final minute or so here, I don't know what are you going to be watching for as the gubernatorial campaigns plural unfold.
Well, regarding Brett Halsey, it's really going to be interesting to see how Mary Burke handles that. She, you know, let's face it, she has never run a statewide race before, so she is kind of in a learning mode. I thought that that Brett Halsey's comments about her were a little on the negative side, of course. But watching that is going to be real interesting to see whether or not that happens. She's going to try to focus more on Walker, and it'll be interesting to see whether she can continue to do this. Personally, I think the polls portend a very close race. The campaign is just getting started. With all the millions spent this spring, basically the polls didn't change much at all. So the public awareness is still pretty low. The polls have Walker ahead, so he's going to be perceived as a front runner. But frankly, both candidates have advantages and disadvantages that can be used by each side. So it's their strategies are still evolving, still unfolding. But I think it's going to be a very interesting race.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you again about it, I'm sure. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Robin Cherry, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. We are going to talk with the author of You Are Not Special and Other Encouragements coming up after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.